Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the new era of Far From Vesuvius podcast. My name is Ken, and we have two of our co-hosts with us this week. So first, welcoming back Marco Cubani D'Onofrio. Marco, how's it going?
I'm good. I've missed this. I'm so happy to be back, and especially with everything going on right now. So thank you. Thank you.
Of course. And Rafa Rispo. Rafa, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? You know, the regular usual, man. Working, grinding, getting ready for our trip, and just really, really excited about what's coming our way, and excited about the season too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know it's been hot here in Boston. I'm sure it's been hot in New York too, Rafa.
Oh yeah,
we're getting ready for a holiday tomorrow, which is awesome. So you guys are going to get a special 4th of July edition of the Far From Vesuvius podcast. But, you know, we're going to just do some general housekeeping here. We're going to go over a couple of news items. We have a Ask FFV segment, and we just wanted to, you know, keep you guys in the loop of what's going on this summer and keep the content flowing. So, first major piece of news is Napoli have officially signed Kostas Manolas from Roma. They have triggered his release clause of 36 million euros, and he comes into form in what is, in my opinion, one of the best, if not the best, center-back duos in Serie A. I know there's arguments for a couple of other teams, and there's still some signings out in the air, but guys, I'll open up the floor to you. Thoughts on the Manolas signing?
Well, I tell you what, I think that it could be one of the biggest signings of the summer. And, you know, Napoli tend to pull those off, you know, every now and then. Last year with Fabian, you know, he was a sleeper signing for a lot of people, but very few, you know, actually knew the magnitude of him replacing Jorginho and his talents coming over to the São Paulo, and they really did pay off. And he's actually really showing it this summer and in the internationals as well. But I really do think that, you know, losing Albiol back to Spain, which was basically a given, this could have been one of the best signings Napoli will pull off in the summer, regardless of the fact that we know that there might be another big signing, you know, on the way. But this is a very important signing because it solidifies an already pretty decent back line.
Yeah. How could you not be excited right now when you think of Napoli's back line going into next season that, you know, does feature Manolas, Koulibaly, Di Lorenzo, you've got Goulam still, you've got Malcoué still. Like, this is a team that has a lot of potential now. And when you factor in St. Alex at the back, we've got a really good defense and potentially not only the best in Serie A, one of the best in Europe. And we'll see what happens because I know Inter got Godin and they've got a really, really good back line as well. And if the rumors are true, and it looks like it's going to happen, Juventus end up with the light, that's another really, really good backline, and potentially three of Serie A's top teams have three of the best defenses in the world. So it is exciting times, and I think it was a necessary step. I'm sad to lose Albiol because we know how crucial he was alongside Koulibaly, and we know how much Napoli hurt when he got hurt. But with that said, if you're going to lose a player in a cornerstone like Albiol, it's nice to have a younger, talented center back with a ton of experience in Manolas come and arrive.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those signings that when you look at it and you consider the price and Manolas's age and, you know, just sort of what he brings to the table, it's one of these sort of statement type of signings, in my opinion. You know, we see the names that were linked with this summer, and, you know, obviously we have the rumors swirling around James Rodriguez, and it's a little bit of a statement of intent from Napoli, I think. You know, I think Ancelotti has an idea of what he wants for the club, and I think that he has the ear and the respect of De Laurentiis that other managers generally don't have. And, you know, a signing like this at the price is just is great to see. I mean, him and Koulibaly are going to be in my opinion, you know, one of the better pairings in Europe, like you said, Marco. It helps us on all stages. He has experience, especially in the Champions League. He had that long run in with Roma, and he's in his prime. So, I mean, I think that it can only mean good things for this future season and the next couple seasons, and happily as long as, you know, everybody stays together. And sort of on the flip side of that deal, Amadou Diawara goes to Roma. 21 million euros seems to be the price coming in. So all in all, 36 out, 21 in, you get Manolas for 15 million plus Diawara. I think that's a pretty good deal at the end of the day. Diawara, I mean, I feel like he's a player that if he's given consistent minutes in the right system, he could be a very good player for Roma. We saw glimpses of what he could offer Napoli when we were with Sadi, and you know, he had a really amazing match against Real Madrid, and it really caught the eye of a lot of the world of European football. But I just don't think it ever all materialized for him. He had a huge goal a couple seasons ago against Chievo, which kept us in the Scudetto race. And obviously, I wish him the best. But I think overall, this is a good deal. Guys, thoughts on giving up Diawara on our side of the deal?
I think Diawara, like you mentioned, he's got a ton of potential, and I do wish him the best because I hope he does reach it. But he wasn't able to at Napoli, and he wasn't going to find the time this season, unfortunately. And Ancelotti gave him a season to see what he could do and whether he could crack the 11 and become a more consistent player. And it wasn't the case, unfortunately, for him. And it was the same situation under Sarri as well. So unfortunately, it is time to move on. And I think he can be a real positive player for Roma, and a change of scenery could be just what he needs and a little bit more responsibility. So we'll see how that works out for him. But at the end of the day, getting a player like Manolas, who is a top five center back in Serie A right now, is huge. And if all you had to give up was $15 million and, you know, a player of Diawara's, you know, current status with the club, then absolutely it's a great move. And this is a team that is looking, I think, to start over again. And this is a time and an opportunity for Ancelotti to really put a stamp on this club. And I think that's what we're seeing this summer, where last year he was more content to kind of you know, take over Sarri's squad, a team that had competed for a Scudetto and came really, really close to accomplishing that. And this year, it's time for him to say, you know what, that was Sarri's squad, and now I can finally bring in the players I want. And De Laurentiis seems very willing to make that happen. So they're investing some coin. And again, it's exciting times for Napoli fans.
Also, let's not forget that we actually were the ones who bought, you know, we bought Diawara two seasons ago, three seasons ago, for 14.5 mil, sold him out for 21. So we did profit a bit on him. And, you know, it's not all lost. You know, he did contribute his goal against, I believe it was Chievo. That one season was magnificent, and it was a great moment, and he had a lot of potential. I was very excited for him to be coming in, but we did, we profited all around, I think, with that deal, you know, and that's something that De Laurentiis is very, you know, cunning at. You know, he's a cunning, conniving businessman, and he knows when he can get a deal, you know. And, you know, it's like Marco said, you know, to give up Diawara in his current status to get Manolas, I'll take it, especially with that, you know, seemingly we had a hole in our defense, you know, because I don't think anyone of Maximovic, Luperto, or Kidikas was going to fill that role permanently. So doing what we did to get Manolas, getting rid of Diawara, was fine by me. The only thing I'm worried about is if we actually do go ahead and sell Alan, you know, we would have to fill the midfield hole. You know, we just had to get a little more deep with the midfield. But I don't know. I think it's looking more and more likely that that if Alan does get sold, we can bring Veretu in, and you know, all would be fine again, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, just to put a little bow on the Manolas thing is, and sort of going off of what Marco said a little bit ago, it's last year, and a lot of us said it and were, got, you know, different levels of sort of ridicule that, you know, it was going to be a consolidation type of season, and Ancelotti was going to take his time and take stock in the guys that were still here. And now he is much more intentional in what he's trying to do with the club. I think that he sees our areas of weakness that, and where he needs to fill to bring about the best version of his squad. And you see, he's pretty insistent on, you know, I think he has pretty heavy influence in the players that he wants to bring in this summer. I mean, a player like Manolas, you know, is going to want to play for a coach like Ancelotti, and no disrespect to Sadi or to any of our other previous managers. But, you know, a coach like Ancelotti does bring in, you know, those types of players, and he has the ear to do it. And obviously we see, you know, this sort of slow and steady build up to what we hope is a James Rodriguez signing. You know, I think that if that does come off and come to fruition, there's going to be no doubt about the fact that the influence that Ancelotti had on this transfer market. A couple right, of other, and,
you yeah, know, I'm ahead. Sorry, I'm sorry. No, you know, ahead. you know what else I really liked about the fact, you know, the Diawara departure was that he had nothing but nice things to say about Ancelotti, De Laurentiis, the club, the fans. You know, a lot of under the Sarri regime, a lot of the you know, thank yous and well wishes were towards the fans and towards, you know, the fellow players. But when it came to Sarri and De Laurentiis, there was a lot of, you know, crap talking from some of the players, you know, the fringe players that were sold off. And Diawara actually had nothing but the nicest things to say about the club altogether in general. He, you know, called out the president. He called out the coach. He called out everybody that was involved and thanked everybody. And I thought that was really touching and nice from him. So good for him. I'm happy he's going to go to Roma. Hopefully he can get, you know, turn their season or turn their situation upside from upside down to right side up. And I hope he's a good, you know, asset to them.
Yeah, I agree, Rafa. So some other transfer news that's sort of trickling in later, you know, to this evening and today. It seems like we've sold Sepe and Grassi outright to Parma. It seems to be that the deal is worth about around, there's no official word yet, but the deal is going to be around 10 to 12 million for the both of them. So it clears up a little bit of space. We're seeing a lot of these fringe players go away. I don't really have too much to say about either of those guys. Grassi has had a lot of problems with injuries, and he never really got a chance to play too much with us. And Sepe, you know, he's been sort of in and out of loans most of his career with Napoli. Obviously, you know, I would really like to see a hometown player who has a decent amount of quality stick around, but it seems like he is off to Parma permanently as well. And on the incoming front, we have late news tonight that Napoli are still working on listening to, thinking about bringing in Mauro Icardi. And no. I know Rafa has strong feelings about this, so I'm gonna quit talking here in a second and let Rafa have the floor for a minute here. But it seems to be that the offer on the table is 60 million euros. And that's that. So I'm going to go last and talk about Icardi, but I'll leave it up to Rafa first. So Rafa, thoughts on that?
Well, listen, all right. My thoughts are, please, no. I'm not a fan of his at all. You know, he's a talented, amazing goal scorer. He's, when his head's on straight and he's playing to his full potential, he's one of the best, you know, around. And there's no doubting that. I just would really rather the circus stay in Milan or go elsewhere. I understand the reasoning that he might have to stay in Italy because he's with Wanda Nara, who's the mother of Maxi Lopez's kids, who, you know, can't, you know, I'm sure he's kind of stuck in Italy, so the only real logical place to go would be Napoli. He's not going to go to Atalanta. He's not going to go, you know, he's not staying with Inter. I don't think Juve is going to take him, and he wants to play in the Champions League. So Napoli would be like the you know, sexiest destination for him, I guess, so to speak. But I'd much rather the circus not come in through Naples train station and stay up in Milan. Please.
Rafa, don't worry, buddy. I don't think it's happening. And actually, DiMarzio reported today that it was confirmed yesterday that Wanda and Paratici did meet. So if anything, and apparently he's made it clear that he wants to go to Juve, and it does have to do with Wanda. Wanda's going to be a pundit on that show, Tiki Taka. She was on last year. And,
right.
So that's why they want to stay in Italy. So, and I know when Sarri was at Napoli, he talked about Icardi quite a bit, and Napoli was really, really interested in him at that time. So who knows? It'd be crazy, but it wouldn't surprise me given everything we've already seen. I mean, 2 years ago, who would have thought Ancelotti would be coaching Napoli and Sarri would be coaching Juventus, right? But here we are. And so Icardi wearing a Bianconeri jersey shouldn't surprise anybody. And in truth, I think it probably is his most likely destination, but I don't even know if that'll happen. I think Inter, to be honest, they're in a crappy situation right now when it comes to him because his value has been halved, right? I mean, nobody wants that mess and nobody wants that circus, like Rafa said. So we'll see what happens with him, but it'd be such a Juve move to get him on the cheap. And, you know, we'll see what happens, how that plays out, but I really don't think he's coming to Napoli. There's simply no room for him, and especially if they go out and get James, I mean, his salary alone would be too much, and unless Napoli sells a big star like an Insigne or Mertens or a big name, I can't see that happening. So, fortunately and thankfully, I really don't think Icardi's coming to Napoli.
Yeah, I agree. I agree mostly with both of what you guys said. I personally find myself a little bit more conflicted. I just feel like when he's on, he is one of the best. In Italy, he's clinical. He has that individual sort of drive and determination. Could, you know, win matches for teams, which is, you know, individual match winners are hard to come by in the modern game. But I don't want to deal with any of the circus that comes along with him at all. I just really don't want to. So you're right, Marco. Would be a very Juve move for them to be able to get him on the cheap. And they're, you know, obviously we see what's happening with Higuain, who was given his marching orders, so they're definitely going to be in the market for a striker. So it's just another newsworthy little tidbit I figured we'd cover, but I agree with you guys. I don't think that he's coming, especially if we're getting James Rodriguez, because I think that would mean a major sale. And given what Alan said last week, that he seemed like he was going to be coming back and was not interested in a move, and given some of the moves we see PSG involved in, I think there's probably a 50-50 to 60-40 chance that Alan stays. You're going to have to be thinking about someone like Insigne, who I wouldn't want to sell, but I also have an inkling of a feeling that he may be quietly be on the transfer market with De Laurentiis listening to offers. But yeah, agreed again, guys. I don't think Icardi is coming, but we'll have to wait and see what happens over the next couple of weeks here. Another, you know, something I wanted to talk about, and we have an article that came out today from Frank Sidekick, is I wanted to just touch on Fabian's performance in the UEFA U21 tournament, where he was named player of the tournament. I mean, I don't know if anybody watched the games or followed it. I know some people were, some people weren't. It's not the most prestigious tournament, but it's a good showcase for some of these younger players. Obviously, there was a lot of disappointment for the way that Italy went out, but I thought Fabian played brilliantly. I mean, he scored a couple of ridiculous goals in this tournament, and I just wanted to give a little shout-out to him and just say how well he played. I thought that all of his accolades were well-deserved. He's going to be coming into the season really riding a high after, you know, winning the tournament and winning the player of the tournament. So I don't know if you guys have anything you'd like to say regarding Fabian, but I just thought it was worth touching on in this episode.
Man, Napoli have a superstar on their hands right now, and it actually scares me how good he has become and how good he is, because I think it's going to be really tough to keep a hold of him in the coming years, but he was ridiculous. And in all honesty, and I forget, I don't remember if it was one of you guys that tweeted this out or somebody else that said, you know, right now, would you rather have Jorginho or would you rather have Fabian Ruiz? Because last year it felt like Jorginho was a big loss to this club, but Fabian Ruiz in the middle of the park is absolutely sensational and is really becoming one of the top midfielders on the planet. So there's not enough like words to describe how good he is.
Yeah, it's this is another one of those moves that I think as we sort of look back on it in a couple of years, this is another Ancelotti move. I mean, if you go back and you read how he came to Napoli, you know, Ancelotti's son Davide, who's sort of one of his assistants, saw him play at Betis and basically said, "We have to have this guy."
Yes,
and you know, it's just great to see. I know he didn't have a world-beating season at Napoli, but you saw him grow, and you know, the springboard he just gave himself after the performance he just had just really. I mean, after these types of tournaments, you see a player's value just skyrocket. You know, if we paid 30 million for him last summer and he's coming off the performance he just had, he probably almost, we talked about Icardi's value being halved. I think that Fabian Ruiz is probably just doubled. You know, I think there would be no issue if, you know, for someone to come in with a 50 to 60 million euro offer right now. But, you know, he seems to be saying all the right things. He wants to stay. Ancelotti had a really nice tweet about him saying that, you know, we're all proud of you, but I personally am proud of you. And these are the types of things and type of relationships you want to see your manager have with your players. So it was a great tournament for him.
Yeah. And you have to wonder how other like pundits around or other, like, you know, scouts and managers and teams are wondering how, like, you know, I mean, I know he was really good player at Betis, but you know, it wasn't until he got to Napoli where he made the Spanish national team. He actually played for the senior team a few times throughout the course of the season, went to the under-21s and just absolutely dominated it. And you have to wonder how, like, if those, you know, set of, you know, coaches and scouts are, you know, sort of taking note that Ancelotti and, you know, Napoli have developed this player into the player that he is today. And you have to wonder, you know, if teams are going to take that into account when it comes to who we draw in Champions League and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's really put Fabian on the map, I feel. And he just had a stellar under 21. And it's not as prestigious as other tournaments, but it's prestigious to the kids who play that under 21. Everybody, I mean, I saw a tweet sent out by Fabian, or it was stated somewhere that he had vehemently wanted to win this tournament and then come back to Naples and win a Scudetto at Napoli. And, you know, I say sign him to long term, you know what I mean? Let's wrap his contract up big time.
Yeah, I think there was rumors earlier this week that he was on the verge of signing an extension with a raise and no release clause. So
right.
So I mean,
just remember all of there was a lot of I don't want to say hate, but there was a lot of doubt about Fabian coming in, and I have to credit one Matteo Bonetti who absolutely just, like, when we signed him, he had come out and said, forget Cristiano Ronaldo, Fabian Ruiz is the signing of the summer. And that's why I mentioned the Manolas signing being the signing, possibly being the signing of the summer could turn out to be. That last year, Fabian was the signing of the summer, because if anybody knows anything about La Liga, it's Bonetti, because he, you know, covered it with BN, and he'd watched him play, you know, and knew his credentials and knew what kind of star we had in the making. And it's just so cool to see him. You know, I was upset. Obviously, I wanted Italy to win the tournament, being such an Italian fan, but at least we got to see Napoli players come out this summer in various tournaments and do really, really well. And it's awesome to see.
Yeah. Shout out, Matteo. You know, it was a master stroke in sort of calling a big deal right away. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He came out immediately and said exactly what Rafa said. Forget about Cristiano Ronaldo. Fabian Ruiz is going to be the best signing of the summer. And I mean, we're looking at it a year on now, and I mean, it's hard to argue. So, I mean, at 30 million in this market is just crazy. It's crazy to think about. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure we touched on it. I mean, I think that moving into the season, I'm going to try my best not to jinx it. I'll knock on wood there a little bit, but it's hard not to be excited this summer. You know, it's just a really feels like a fun time to be a Napoli fan going into this summer. I think DeMauro opens the next couple of days here, so the players are going to start reporting, which is awesome. But I mean, another thing to be proud of in this summer, aside from the player signings and the rumors and, you know, Manolas and potentially James Rodriguez and everybody else coming in and out, I mean, we have essentially a brand new stadium to look at, obviously not from the outside, but from the inside. I mean, I've been following the construction and everything very, very closely, even watched maybe about an hour of the Universidad opening ceremony, which was tonight, which took place at the San Paolo. And it is, you know, it makes you emotional. You know, you see that stadium and the transformation it's taken over the last, I mean, it's only been 2 months, and you just see, you know, I posted a picture on our Twitter account of the way the stadium looked 3 or 4 months ago and the way it looks now. And it's just, it's unbelievable. It's really a night and day transformation. And it's, I mean, I'll leave it up to you guys to chime in on what you guys think about the restyling of the San Paolo. I know me and Rafa touched on it a couple of weeks ago. So I'll go to you first, Marco, but it's really beautiful to see for me.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see. It's about time, and it's much needed. I mean, if Napoli is ever going to take that next step addressing their stadium issues, and I mean, to be honest and to be fair, this is still kind of just a Band-Aid over a larger problem, but it is something that was needed, and it's definitely something that's going to help when they're playing in Champions League, and optically it looks a lot better, and it seems like Napoli and this club is finally taking some steps needed to, you know, improve their presence globally and their image worldwide. Because if you want to be viewed as a big team and a club that can compete at the highest levels, then a stadium is definitely something you need. And I mean, we're going to touch upon their trip in the States, you know, in a little bit, and that's something else that they needed, right? Some global exposure and proving that, you know what, they're looking at things from an international scale and an international viewpoint. And on TV in the past, the San Paolo looked like a joke. And that's where that's where these new seats and the lighting system and all that's going to really come into play. Yeah, it'll be convenient for those going to games, but it'll also be really nice to see on TV that, you know, you don't have to be embarrassed at broken seats everywhere. Let's just hope that the fans going to the games and those attending week in, week out, don't damage the stadium and make a mess of it, because that would be a real shame. And again, that probably wouldn't surprise me either, unfortunately.
Yeah. Rafa, anything to add about the San Paolo?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's about time, man. I'll take the Band-Aid, Marco, you know. I'll take it. I'll take it, man. No, yeah, oh, sure. And you know, like you said, optically it's going to look better. But I also think that, like it's going to attract more. It's going to, you know, fans aren't going to go from, you know, other countries to visit and go watch a Napoli game and you know, just be kind of like, this is what I came to see, you know. Now we have a bit more of an identity. I did hear something about the distinti seats being painted with the word Napoli in big navy blue at some point after the Universidad games. And you know, if that happens, that'd be just something extra special, you know, and the screens that are up there, I'm happy about that. I'm just happy that within a couple of months, we went from being the worst, hands down, one of the worst stadiums in the world, never mind in Italy, but one of the worst conditioned stadiums in the world, to being one of the best, like, older stadiums from like that 1990 World Cup renovated era.
Sure. Yeah.
In Italy, you
old
know,
Olympic and stadium type.
Yeah. Years, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Cause you know, as far as the stadiums that received the renovation in Italia 90, you know, as far as those stadiums go, we are now like the most visibly, you know, easy looking on the eye stadium from all those. And it's really cool. You know, I mean, we don't own the stadium. We don't get to profit 100% from all the gates and revenue and all that, but at least now we have a little bit of identity, a little bit of pride in our stadium.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say, it just gives us a little something to be proud of, you know, far as the stadium goes. I was really just going to sort of jab that in there, but yeah, it's nice. Obviously, Marco, I agree. It's a Band-Aid. It's not a perfect fix. We still have the track. We still don't really have food vendors in there, although it seems like they're trying to make the changes to make that happen. But we'll take the baby steps. And I will enjoy seeing the San Paolo on TV a lot more this season, if nothing else. Hopefully you'll be able to see it in person. I am also glad that I was able to sort of see it before. I think we've all been there in its current state. So it'll be nice to go next time and see it with the refurb. So,
and I was going to mention too, you know, we've all, like you said, we've all been there to see the old state of the San Paolo, but, now we actually, you know, a lot of people can't say that, you know, ADL isn't trying to do something to move our brand to the next level, because we're coming to the States and we're fixing the San Paolo and we're trying to sign this guy without selling a lot, you know, and it's not, you know, we're not that club anymore. You can definitely tell, like I said in the last episode, that there's a shift in the attitude and how we present ourselves in world football and making ourselves a global brand. So I think it's happening.
Yeah. I mean, we see all the positive strides being made, and it's, you know, it's, I think sort of like the thing we can all definitely agree on is that it's about time. You know, we've been clamoring for them to come to the States. We've been begging for them to do something with the stadium. We've been hoping to sign a major player over the last couple of years. And it seems like everything is sort of falling in line here in one summer, which is a little overwhelming because it makes you feel like something crazy bad might happen. But it's just like, it's just hard to really wrap my mind around, but it's exciting. And, you know, we hope that they can continue this sort of positive momentum they have flowing through at least the early parts of the summer. I think now we're just going to go to some Ask FFV questions. I know I said in the open that, you know, there wasn't too much, but we wanted to make sure we kept in touch with everybody. And we got a fresh episode out there during the summer where I know the news isn't always coming in super fast. It's more rumors and innuendo and everything else. But we opened the floor up to you guys to ask some questions, and we did get a fair amount. So I'm just going to start whipping through those real quick. So Adashrul Brahim asked us, should we be disappointed if we miss out on Lozano? Is he that good, or can we find a replacement? Rafa, I'll start with you. Lozano, do we miss out if we don't get him?
Lozano, I don't think we miss out, because if we do get James, you know, I think it's, you know, it's a successful summer, you know. I do want Lozano. I want Chucky Lozano and James Rodriguez, and I want them all, you know. But we have to be really realistic here. And if one of the two have to happen, for me, it's James. As much as I do like Chucky, but no, I don't think we miss out. I really don't. I mean, he's a great player, very dynamic. But we've got a lot of great players in the position as well now. Yeah. So, you know, he's very versatile and can play all over the place, which would add a lot of depth to our team. But no, I don't really think we miss out if we miss out on Lozano.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lozano is a bonus. I mean, if you get James and Manolas, I mean, Manolas and James were, you know, Manolas in particular was a real, real important move and an acquisition. And James, if you get him, that's, you know, that's gravy for me. So Lozano would be nice, but it seems like it's a luxury as well, because as Rafa mentioned, we have a plethora of players at that position already. Although, is he an upgrade on some of them? Absolutely. But even then, I mean, we saw Onas and what he did at the, yep, what he's doing in the Africa Cup of Nations right now. So, I mean, it's so tough, but it's one position that I really don't think that they need right now, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in agreement with both of you guys. I think Lozano is a bonus, and maybe a backup plan if we really were going to be testing the waters on selling a player like Insigne, but I'd much rather have Insigne than Lozano. I think Lozano is a very promising player. I think that, you know, what he's done at PSV over the last couple of seasons has been great. Obviously, we know what he is like on the international level. He's a very big part of that Mexico national team. But yeah, I think he's more of a bonus. He's not in an area of need, especially if we are bringing in James Rodriguez. I mean, you think about our attacking options right now on the wings and sort of you have – if James comes in, and I think James will end up playing on the right, cutting onto his left, you know, you're going to have James, Callejon, Insigne, Unas, and Yunes, and that's also assuming that we sell Simone Verde. So that's five players right there for two positions. I think that anytime we're gonna, if we're gonna be talking about getting Lozano, that's just, you know, maybe almost overkill for that wing position. But next question, Don's 83. Some talk that Napoli are interested in Kieran Tierney. He's a left back from Celtic. Is there any credence to that? And he also said that he's going to Napoli Liverpool on the 20th of July. Have a blast. I did see some stuff about Kieran Tierney. I don't know too much about him, to be brutally honest. I know he's a promising young Scottish player, but yeah, I think there was some rumors about it, but I just don't know terribly much about him. Do any of you guys know too much about Kieran Tierney aside from the fact that he's young and a promising player?
I don't know a whole lot personally. I think he is young. Like you mentioned, he's promising. I haven't watched a whole lot of him, so I can't give a perspective from that play, or I can't give a play from that perspective. But I think he could potentially be what Napoli needs. I mean, we definitely need some help back there. But again, at the same time, it's silly season, and Napoli has been linked to so many different names right now that it's hard to know what's true, what's not true, and there's only a few credible sources that you can really rely on. So I don't want to invest too much time doing research and digging into him, just because ultimately I don't see it happening to begin with. I mean, realistically, when was the last time Napoli signed a Scottish player? Yeah. You know, I'm not to say anything. It's not something we see every day, and Napoli gets linked to a bunch of different English names all the time, and I think it's more so because tabloids and newspapers need to sell stories, and I think that's unfortunate what this could be in this situation as well.
Well, it would be the same thing as if you saw, like, you know, Arsenal are about to sign Mertens, you know. It's just, I don't think it's credible.
Koulibaly to Man United, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not credible. I haven't seen a single report on it myself, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it's coming from. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got on that, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the listener who asked in, because we just don't really know much about it. But yeah, have fun at the game. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be a blast. And yeah. So, yeah, sorry, man. I wish we knew more. But if we sign him, then you'll definitely get a deep dive. So
absolutely.
Chris Kelly at Real Don DiNapoli. Chris, how's it going, man? I know you're a longtime listener, so I wanted to make sure we got to your question. His question is, DOR, Rog, Rui, Hisai, Verdi, Garner very seem to be going, and Glace, Vinicius, Sepe, and some other players are going to be leaving as well. His question after that is, besides the already confirmed purchases of Di Lorenzo and Manolas and potentially James Rodriguez, do we take anybody else, or do we consolidate the squad? I mean, I think we're probably still have a couple holes. I mean, I think that left back position is definitely a hole if we sell Mario Rui. Obviously, we know we assume Hisai is out also, but that'll give us Malcui and Di Lorenzo on the right. So it does leave a little bit of a hole there on the left. So I don't think we'll be done with our business, but it's just, I think we are doing a little bit of consolidation here. We have it's that summer to sort of cash in those assets where you can, and try to use that. Instead of selling one big player, you sell a bunch of fringe players and are able to reinvest that way instead of having to make a huge splash on the outgoing market to make the incoming market viable. That's my take on it anyway. Rafa?
Yeah, I mean, should the James deal go through, which I think it will, it'll you know, I truly do believe at this point, you know, there's no turning back and James will play with Napoli. Maybe one or two more, like, you know, depth players, but yeah. I don't see making like a big, you know, a big name signing at the end, you know, right at the end of the transfer market there or something like that, you know. And honestly, those players that we got rid of are, you know, are potentially getting rid of are just either, you know, dead weight or players that just didn't work out. And, you know, it's, you know, nothing personally against them because, you know, they're all very, you know, near and dear to our hearts as Napoli players and as you know, good.
It's okay, Rafa. Don't make excuses for them. They're not good.
No, I'm just saying
they're
good in their own right. You know, they are. But, you know, listen, the business of the sport is, you know, get the players that are going to get the job done, and that's what Ancelotti's doing. So maybe one or two more just to strengthen the squad a little bit, like sleepers, like Malqui last season. Yeah, Kevin Malqui, who's that? And then he turns out to be one of the most dynamic parts of the first half of the season there, you know? And you know, I think that'll be what we do, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, I think, and De Laurentiis has said this about a million times over the last couple of weeks, that Napoli really need to sell and offload a lot of players before they can really start to sign. And, I mean, you mentioned Seppi and Grassi, and those are just a couple of examples of guys that really need to go first. And not only because, you know, it brings in $10 million, which is not jump change, but it also gets their salaries off the books, which helps and finds a solution for them, because a lot of these guys are players that we've seen come and go and come and go. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, unfortunately for us, Zapata was one of those players that came and went, and then he's gone, and we really want him back right now. And especially if Hamas arrived, imagine having the two of them at the club level, right? It'd be crazy. It'd be sensational, but unfortunately it's too late. But I don't think we're going to see any real shockers. And I think, you know, I mean, listen, we know Napoli, they're pretty predictable in the sense that if Hamas does come, it's going to be talked about and it's going to be preached about. And De Laurentiis is going to talk about how he gave a gift and a present to Ancelotti for the next 3 years. And if he does, it's true though. And if he doesn't win and Ancelotti leaves in a couple seasons, then he's going to talk about how he gave Ancelotti this big present, this big gift, and it didn't work out or whatever the case is. And hopefully it does work out. So, but anyways, I don't see Napoli really surprising anybody.
Sono io il vostro Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Danny at Napoli underscore 1007. What do you think James could have on Napoli, and what effect do you think or impact do you think he could have on Napoli and the fans? Danny, I'm going to just button this one up and I'm going to save it. Because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to waste all of our podcast time on Hamas now, when we're going to probably end up, if he does come, we'll probably end up doing a whole, you know,
a parade
of content about how the impact he will have. I mean, I think we can say that it would be an awfully big impact. But I just want you to know that we got your question and we see it, but I want to just put it in the save pile for now. Frank Sidekick. Frank, we always love to hear from you. Following Fabian's awesome U21 tournament, what do you think Carlo needs to do to get the best out of him next season? How can we make him as influential for us as he was for Spain? I think we touched on some of this in the tournament that he had, but I don't know if it's a about implementing him in a different way. I think maybe this was just sort of his way of breaking out of his shell a little bit. I think that anytime you make a major change in leagues and, the sort of, you know, first language of a country and reintegrating your life into moving after spending, you know, your whole life in one place or one general area of space, that it just takes a little bit of time. And we obviously saw the flashes of brilliance last year. I mean, I think he had one of our best goals of the year last year in that goal he scored against Udinese.
Yes.
And he, I mean, I think he did sort of tail off a little bit at the end, but I think Napoli as a whole sort of tailed off at the end as we sort of dropped out of all these competitions, and like that fire and desire just wasn't quite there. And we just needed to consolidate and make sure we finished second. So, I mean, I think he can be as influential as he was for Spain. I think the one player on Napoli who needs to seriously be looking over his shoulder this year about his playing time is Piotr Zielinski. And I hope that what this does is create sort of dynamic, healthy competition between the two of them, and we end up getting the best out of both of them. I'll leave it up to you guys if you have anything else you want to add.
No, I agree with that for the most part. I mean, I think... listen, it's also the under 21, so we got to keep that in mind as well, that tactically it's not always at the most sophisticated level yet. I mean, you're talking about some of the best young players in the world, so I don't want to underplay it as well, but I mean, in Serie A, it's a different game, it's a different beast. So I think Ancelotti will get the best of him, and we will see him deliver at the club level as well.
Rafa.
Yeah, I agree with everything. I think he's going to show, you know, in his second season with Napoli what he's capable of all season long. I mean, he tailed off a little bit at the end of last season or at some point in last season. And I think this season, fresh off the win with Spain, you know, his proclamation was winning with Napoli. And, you know, he went out and did what he set out to do in the summer. I think that gives him a lot of confidence coming into this season. And he's going to just kind of beast on the field, if you ask me. You mentioned the game against Udinese and the goal. Michele at Get Napoli Tickets on Twitter helped my cousin Dan get tickets to that. My cousin Dan took a train from Naples to Udine and watched that in real time and actually caught video of the goal as it happened. And it was just an amazing shot, and I got to see it from like behind the goal. It was just a fabulous, fabulous goal that he scored, and it was one of the highlights of the season for me, actually.
Yeah, the funny thing for me is I was actually traveling during the same time, and I actually saw that goal with a bunch of Napoli fans at Napoli Club London.
Nice.
So it's just so
that's
really,
right. That's right. You were there.
It's a really, really interesting turn of events there. That yeah, I was, you know, your cousin was at the match, and I was watching the match with some friends and the Napoli Supporters Club in London, and it was a really awesome experience. So it's one of those things that I'll never forget because I was traveling, got to see it with a bunch of Napoli fans. So cool stuff. Gianluca 617, with James steps away from signing and the speculation on the fullbacks and midfielders, is Lozano necessary? I wanted to make sure we got to your question, Gianluca, but I'm pretty sure we covered most of this with a question above. He does follow up with say, love Mertens in a false nine, but with Ancelotti's system, I think a Vice Milik is maybe being overlooked. I think you might be right. I think that we do need to find a Vice Milik, you know, whether that's a younger guy or whether someone stays back with us this year, whether it's Vinicius or Inglese. My only apprehension is that we know Milik's injury history, and you know, one reaggravation of either of those knees, and we're, you know, in a whole different situation here. And I thought Milik really got himself back centered last year, and I thought he had a pretty good season overall. He's another player who, like, we could say this for maybe 10 or 12 Napoli players, kind of tailed off in the last month of the season. But you know, I think that you have a point there, Gianluca, that maybe we do need a vice number nine, whoever that is. I know Marco talked about Zapata, and I think that rumor has come and gone, but I do think we need somebody there to be that security blanket for us in case Milik does go down.
A shame that it can't be Quagliarella, can it? I mean,
I know.
I really wouldn't mind. People might say, well, you know, Ancelotti, I mean, De Laurentiis doesn't really, you know, go that way. He doesn't go back. He doesn't buy older players, this and that. But I really think it would be not only the storybook ending to his career, but you know, he would actually really help us out, you know? And
yeah,
I think he'd be credible help for us, you know? You know, time will tell. We'll see. You know, we mentioned possibly one or two more, you know, depth players. Maybe a Vice Milik could be one of them. Like you said, whether we keep Vinicius or Inglese or set out to get someone else. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Marco, anything?
To be honest with you, I think it is what it is right now. And we can't get too high, too down. I mean, we just got to smile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like we overanalyze everything, and we're going to talk about everything until we're blue in the face. And before the season even starts, we're going to have talked about whether this club could win a Scudetto or they're not going to win a Scudetto, whatever the case is. But I think we need to appreciate what we have and what we're experiencing right now and just kind of live in the moment. And again, this club is doing exciting things and big things, and we're starting to see that this summer. And I think we just need to enjoy that piece right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier, and it's just, you know, we see the strides being made, and it's just one of those things where it's just time to sort of like, instead of picking away and trying to pull every thread till it comes off, you know, it's time to just sort of take a look at the strides we're making and appreciate them for what they are. I think that we're making major strides in sort of our global outreach, if you will, and our sort of the way we reach out to the world, and you see the push. I mean, for those of you who don't know who are listening, Napoli released their kit, and opened a US-based Amazon store, which is awesome. I'll link it in the show notes today, just so that you guys can click it if you haven't seen it already. But I mean, I already have my kit. One of my kits.
I mean, Kenny, you were wearing your kit the next day, weren't you?
I wore it twice already. I'm not going to lie.
No, I mean, you were wearing
it today, too.
The day after.
The day after
it was released, released. No?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's quick. It's very quick. So, I mean, it's one of those things that we see the reach out that they're trying to do this summer, and, you know, the amount of sort of effort and emphasis they're putting on this trip to the States. I mean, I have Dries Mertens telling me hello, America. So, hey, what's up, Dries? How you doing? I'm happy that you're talking to us. But, you know, agreed, Marco. I think that we do get caught up in the minutiae sometimes, and it's time to just step back, get excited for the summer games. You know, DeMar opens this week. We're going to be getting lots of players over the next couple of days, and we're going to be seeing them returning to camp, and we're going to be seeing the players. It's going to be very exciting. And then before you know it, it's going to be preseason matches, and then before you know it, they'll be here in the States. And, you know, just to sort of a little bit of a statement of intent for you guys who are listening, some of us will be attending, at least some of us will be attending both matches, and we'll be, you know, having a presence at both of the matches that are in the States. But we are working on some exciting stuff, and I'll save the details until we have it all ironed out. But we want to let you guys know that, you know, we are working on some pretty special stuff for the matches in the States. So please keep your ears tuned to us. Keep your eyes on us at Far From Vesuvius on Twitter. And we'll sort of hash out the details as we get them ironed away. But, you know, I think it's a nice place to put a little bow on the second summer episode. And, you know, we just want to thank you guys for listening. We are available and out there on all of your major podcast listening apparatus. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. You know, you name it, we're there. So if you're listening, you know, any sort of 5-star review we can get or a rating would be really, really appreciated. And, you know, as always, and as we sign off, we just want to say to you guys, as always, Forza Napoli.